So, I did not pick the readings. It's the lectionary. I agree. Sometimes I think God has a very strange sense of humor to give us so many readings about conflict on a day like today. I hope you've all read your email in the bulletin and know that next Sunday is my last one at St. Luke's. So if you need to say goodbye, let me know, because we can get together this week in between packing and my last visits to our shut-ins. And when I leave, I won't come back unless the new priest invites me. I mean, know that I'll grieve not being with you for your graduations and baptisms and, you know, first day of school, blessing backpacks and weddings and funerals and anniversary parties, but I won't come. And that's partly because I've been the topic of the conflict. And the church community needs a chance to move on. And partly I won't come back because I've been your pastor. And you will have a new pastor, a new priest, and you need a chance to develop a new relationship with that person. And partly I won't come back because of my own sense of clergy ethics. I have truly loved you, but a pastor is different than a friend. So, some of you are asking yourself, how did we get here? And some of you are feeling relieved that we finally got here. And today I'll tell you my version of how we got here as graciously and as truthfully as I am able to. And if you want to know where the covenant came from at the back or what happened, you can also ask others of the retiring vestry and wardens and departing clergy, their version of how we got here. Because it's a bit like an elephant, you know. It's not a skinny thing, it's not a big... Anyway, my version says that church communities have life cycles just like people do. And in the 1940s, St. Luke's was a dream in somebody's eye down at Grace. And in the 1940s, a gathering of 20 young people got together and they decided to plant a church here on the east side. And that group of GIs and their wives, the community grew into mature adulthood in the 1960s and 70s, when many of your families filled pews and the choir filled the chancel. Imagine. Yeah, imagine a choir of 25 people processing. It was a different era. That was when many families filled pews, and then in the 1980s, the church community started to slow down, just like seniors do when they retire. And there were fewer people here, and there were more empty pews. And there was less money through the 80s and 90s. There are piles of service books in my office that show this. There was less money, there were fewer people, there were fewer programs because of fewer volunteers. And so when I got here in 2009, we still had some active seniors running Sunday school and lots of loot and the finance committee, but the aging continued and the decline continued. It slowed down, but it continued. And so by now, today, St. Luke's has experienced 40 or 50 years of decline. Some of you were on those vestries and finance committees trying to balance those budgets. And at this year's annual meeting, the vestry and I and the wardens and I had prepared and we presented to the community 5 ways forward. And because it was a difficult meeting and differences of opinion were held, at the end of the meeting, after we talked about, well, what if we do this or what if we do that, I had people raise their hand to indicate which of those ways forward they thought had some value for the community. Because new life requires new vision. And growth requires a lot of change. And some of us in the congregation at the annual meeting wanted to look for renters, folks to share space and give some revenue. And some of us wanted to share our building with the neighbors more in the community, invite folks into the building for money or for not money. And some of us wanted to develop partnerships with other congregations. And some of us in the congregation wanted to manage the budget more tightly and have a part-time priest. So I won't get into the details, because those groups, the ones that wanted to look for renters and share the building and develop partnerships, and the one that wanted to manage the budget more tightly and have a part-time priest, have been experiencing conflict. And you can ask the vestry or the wardens, if you like, their view of that. And other people who are not on the vestry have been gossiping. There has been an incredible amount of mean talk, mean emails, and mean letters. It got to where I opened my mail and I looked for whether this is going to be a love note or a hate note. So anyway, when we have conflict, different people have different styles. I went to a class in July and learned a little bit about conflict because I was confused. And when we have conflict, we have different styles. So some people get in an argument and they're decisive. We have to do this, it will solve it immediately. And that is really a useful thing if there's a fire, right? You gotta be decisive and solve the problem immediately. This is the only solution, we have to do it fast. And some folk avoid conflict and avoid fights. Wherever it is, I don't wanna be there. And some folk, when we have conflict, harmonize, which is to say, I'm kind of pretending the conflict isn't happening and we're all together in the room together. For myself, I try to collaborate. And a collaborator tries to find, is there possibly a win-win solution that we can come up with? And a collaborator tries to connect with everybody to try to find a win-win solution. Well, collaboration is not particularly helpful if you're decisive and think you have the solution. It's just irritating. And collaboration is not particularly helpful if you like to avoid conflict, because it drags you back into it and you need to be out of it. And collaboration is not helpful if you like to harmonize and keep everything peaceful, because collaboration depends on the idea that we don't agree and we might be able to find common mind. Decisive, avoid, harmonize, collaborate, and the final approach to conflict is to compromise. When you compromise, everybody loses something. That's what we got, a compromise. Everybody here is losing something, and everybody will grieve what they're losing. We all will grieve, maybe now, maybe at stewardship season. And in the coming days, if you are willing, I invite you to be self-aware and try to figure out for yourself the difference between how you feel about conflict and how you feel about grief. Because when we have conflict, we do different things. We have different styles. We might be decisive, we might avoid, we might harmonize. They're not good or bad, they're just different. We might collaborate, or we might, I forget the other one. Just be aware, what am I feeling? Is it about the conflict, or is it about my grief? And I personally feel relieved to leave the St. Luke's conflict. Relieved, and also I feel sad because I have to leave people and I have to leave what God is doing here. That's my grief. So I invite you to become aware of the difference between your feelings about conflict and your grief, because If you feel whatever you're feeling is, sad or angry or worried, whatever you're feeling is, ashamed, is it because of conflict and what other people are saying and doing in your response to that, or what you are doing in the conflict, or is it because of grief? Grief is just our feelings about loss, any loss. Lost me as your pastor and priest, lost an idea of St. Luke's as a caring community, lost the feeling of a loving community, lost friends here, lost an idea of the future, perhaps lost the actual future. Grief is your feelings about loss. And if your feelings are about conflict, it can help to get out of the conflict, because conflict is outside of you. However, if your feelings are about grief, leaving will not help you, because you can't get out of it. Grief is inside of you. Grief is your feelings about loss. If you try to get out of grief, it will just travel with you. And nobody can really fix grief for other people. Those of you who have grieved, I've been with you. Nobody can really fix grief with other people, because it's your own feelings about your loss. So please, church, don't fight because of your grief. It will not help you. Please don't leave here because of your grief. That won't help you, because your grief will go along inside of you. The only way to heal from grief is to go through it. Take time with your feelings. Be kind to yourself. Try to be kind with one another. Be tender with others. Be gentle if you're able. Renew your spiritual practices. Take time with God can help with grief. And especially, remember, when you have difficult feelings of grief because you've lost something, remember what you've loved. Remember what you appreciated. When you lose something, remember what you're losing. It's an invitation to be close to what you've lost in your memory. Perhaps make rituals and mourn the loss. And know this, love survives grief. Love survives grief. It would be a pitiful kind of love that didn't survive grief and death and loss. Love survives grief. Love may not survive conflict, but love will survive grief. Amen.